I appreciate that devotion. Amen. That is a blessing.
Amen.
And you ever read that backwards? That interested me. I like that. I was looking at that. I tell you what, it's amazing when somebody gets on the same page with you. And that is interesting that you can read that both directions and it comes out right. Amen. Praise God. Let me get this thing on. And if you want to stand, I know you've been sitting a little while, and stretch your legs, and we're going to read the text. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I really do. I don't take it lightly, and I want to say thank you for the opportunity to come. And we appreciate it and appreciate the Lord. Really do. I don't want to never go without saying thank you. I don't want to be that way. You know, in the last days, it talks about it, that men are going to be unthankful.
Amen.
And just because they are don't mean I got to be.
Amen.
And so we want to be thankful for what the Lord's done. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 17, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, come to you tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for a little while as we try to preach the Word of God. And Lord, as the Word of God goes forth, God, I pray that it'll be a blessing to your people. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us in these last days to want to draw closer to you and want to please you. Lord, it's not about pleasing man, but Lord, it's about pleasing you. And God, I pray that you'll help us for a little while as we try to preach the word of God. Lord, I pray that it'll be a blessing to your people and a help. Lord, I want to be a help to your people. And God, I pray that you'll help us now, and we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. For it's in your name we pray, amen and amen. Now you may be seated. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And this is the first time that we ever see Elijah. It's as if he has dropped out of heaven and he's on the scene. And it's amazing how he comes out of the middle of nowhere. We don't know nothing before this place in the Word of God of Elijah's background. We don't know much about him, but he's an unusual man. And the first place we see Elijah is standing before a king.
Amen.
I mean, right off the bat, he is right in the middle of somebody that's got a lot of power. And to be able just to walk into a palace and stand before a king without getting killed is very, very unlikely. Yes. Most of the time, if you just walk in somewhere with somebody like that, they're going to be wanting to know why you're there and what's going on.
Yes.
But we find Elijah here, it's almost as if he just walks right in and stands before this king and begins talking to him. And at this time, the children of God were away from God. They were not where they were supposed to be. And they were worshiping the god Baal at this time. And so it's as if that Elijah is the only one that is doing anything for God. It's almost as if he's alone and the whole world has went the way of the world. And nobody at this time that we know of is standing for God. And Elijah comes in, and the first thing he says to Ahab, he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." And it's amazing at this time with Elijah, at where he drew his strength, where he relied on who he relied on, and where he sought for help was from the Lord. And to everybody in Israel, to those people, he was dead. Jehovah was not alive because they were not serving him. They were serving the false god Baal. But we find here that Elijah made a statement. He said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth."
Amen.
And he was saying, "Hey, you may not believe he's alive, but I know that he's alive and well."
Amen.
And not only do we find that he drew strength from the Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, but also another observation that we see here, not only did he draw strength from the Lord Jesus instead of drawing strength from him himself, because it's amazing that this, the way it's worded here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Before whom I stand." See, Ahab has got an audience here. Elijah's standing here before King Ahab. And Elijah is saying, "Hey, the God before whom I stand." And Ahab is thinking he's standing before him. If you and I would realize in our lives today, on our job, at work, whatever we do, wherever you go, whatever takes place in your life, as a child of God, if you and I would realize who we're standing before.
Amen, brother.
See, Elijah, yeah, he was standing before Ahab. But he was really standing before God, is who he was standing before. It was almost as if, "Ahab, you're here, but I'm standing before God. That's who I'm answering to. I'm not answering to you. I'm answering to God." If you and I would realize in our everyday walk,
amen,
who we're standing before,
yeah, amen,
I believe it would change a lot of things we do.
Yeah. Amen.
And Elijah here, he drew strength. He drew his strength. Not within himself, not from those around him, but he drew his strength from the person he was standing before,
amen,
who was God. We find that so many today are trying to stand in their own power. They're trying to do everything they can in their own strength. And that's why so many people are falling by the way, because they're trying to do it within themselves, and you'll never be able to do it within yourself.
That's right.
No matter how much you try, there is no way that you can get strength, the strength you need to be a Christian, to be a child of God, within yourself.
You're right.
Paul said that, he said this, he said, "In myself dwelleth no good thing."
You're right.
And my flesh is just as wicked as yours is. And if we try to rely on ourselves, we will fall.
You're right.
And we find Elijah, though, we find where he drew his strength from. It came from the Lord. Where are you drawing your strength from?
That's good.
So many times I find myself trying to rely on my wits, my thinking, but Lord, help me to rely on God.
Amen.
We need to rely on God. In a day when the world's going crazy, you and I, we need to rely on the Lord more than ever.
Amen.
And he was standing in the presence of Ahab, but he stood before Jehovah. Oh, that we would be conscious in the world today as a child of God of who we're standing before.
Amen.
Yeah, you got to stand before your peers, those that you work for, whatever you do in your life. Even if you're witnessing, just trying to be a child of God in your everyday life. Yeah, you do stand before people. But always in the back of our mind and in the bottom end of our soul, we should always know that we're standing before God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And He's the one that's watching.
Amen.
What's going on. And we find that Elijah, he drew strength from the one he stood before. Not Ahab, but Jehovah.
That's right.
And not only, if you look up the word or the name Elijah, his name means Jehovah is my God.
Amen.
But another meaning that I found of his name is Jehovah is my strength.
Amen.
And if you and I would realize that He is the one that's given us strength.
Amen.
If we would realize that it's with Him. It's not us,
Amen.
But it's Him.
That's right, brother.
This gives us the key to His life. God was the strength for Elijah. And it's that verse keeps going off in my mind and in my heart so often. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Anything that the Lord asks you to do, He will strengthen you for the job in
Amen.
Which He's asked you to do. And we find that Elijah, he drew strength. The Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. Ahab knew not that Elijah had been on his knees in secret or in private before the Lord before he presented himself in public to Ahab. There was a private place where Elijah, before he came on the scene here in 1 Kings 17, there was somewhere where Elijah had met alone with God. So often we want to get out in the forefront and we forget that alone time with God.
Lord help us,
man. That time where we get strengthened for the journey.
Amen.
And so we find Elijah here in verse number 1. Of 1 Kings 17, we find that Elijah, he drew strength from the Lord. Jehovah is alive and well. He was telling Ahab, hey, Jehovah is alive and Baal is dead.
Amen.
And he was telling him, hey, that's where I get my strength from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
from the God of heaven. But then, not only do we see where he drew his strength from, but in verse number 2, this is what the Bible says. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. First, we saw where Elijah drew his strength, who he relied on. Who are you relying on? Who am I relying on?
Mm-hmm.
God help us that we rely on the Lord
Amen.
In what we're doing.
Yes.
But not only do we see this place of strength, but in verse number 3, the Lord told Elijah, said, go hide thyself. We find a place, the servant of God in a place alone. We find a place of solitude, so to speak. We find a place where he is just him and the Lord in this place alone. And I will say this, there'll be times in your life and times in my life, and I don't believe we should forsake the assembling of ourselves. That's not what I'm getting at. But there'll be times in your life and times in my life where God will
Amen.
Want to get us alone.
You're right, brother.
Amen.
Now that don't mean don't come to the house of God when the doors are open, but you get what I'm saying. Them times where the Lord just wants to teach you some things.
Come on.
And we find this place of solitude that the Lord tells Elijah in verse number 3. He told him to go to the brook and hide thyself. And we see, first of all, the time that was involved. God's time for Elijah. Elijah, his time in private, his training in secret, far exceeded his acting or his time in public. Elijah stood, as it were, for a brief moment in public compared to his time alone in secret.
That's good.
Elijah was hiding himself from man while God was showing himself to Elijah. At these times when God wants to get you and I alone, it's not that he's wanting to try to hurt us. He's wanting to help us and bear us for his use and for what he wants to do in our life.
Amen.
It's not a thing of wanting to hurt us, but he's wanting to get us alone so he can talk to us in the time that's involved. It's amazing that the God of heaven would want to take time for me.
Amen.
Want to take time for you.
Think about that.
It's amazing. You find this timing that was involved for the man of God, for Elijah. And we see him as a man of God, but I'll tell you this. The timing that God will take for a child of God. Sometimes he wants to take one of his children, not necessarily a preacher, not necessarily a pastor, but just somebody that's been saved by the grace of God, that's faithful to the house of God, and he'll want to teach you some things.
Amen.
And he'll want to get you alone. And we see the timing that's involved. But next we see the teaching that God was teaching Elijah in this place of aloneness, this place of solitude. God was teaching Elijah some things. First of all, we see what God was teaching. God was teaching Elijah what it was to be humble. The Bible says in verse number 3 that he told him, said, go hide thyself. And at the brook, Elijah learned what it was to be humble. A man who is to take a high place before men must take a low place before God.
Amen.
God will never use anybody that all they want is the spotlight, the bigness of it all. God will have to get you humble so he can use you. God help me to stay humble. It's a battle, because pride is a real thing, and pride can dominate one's life if not careful. We've got to stay humble as a child of God.
You're right, preacher.
And a man that is going to take a high place must take a low place before God. Elijah, it's amazing. When God is hiding you at Brook Cherith, he wants to show you at Mount Carmel.
Amen.
There's never a Mount Carmel without a Brook Cherith.
That's good.
Never.
That's good.
God will always take somebody to the brook before he takes them to the mountain. In any child of God's life, because God has got to teach us some things before he can get us on the mountain. And you find Elijah, it's amazing. A Carmel triumph is always after a Cherith, and a Cherith always leads to a Carmel. Always. We find it's amazing at the people in the Word of God that you find alone. You find Elijah at the Brook Cherith alone. You find Moses at the Mount of God alone. You find John on the Isle of Patmos alone. You find the Lord Jesus. We know that the Lord Jesus was born. We saw him when he was 12 years of age. And we don't see nothing else of the Lord Jesus till he started his earthly ministry. That time alone where the Lord Jesus, God the Father, was teaching the Lord Jesus some things. those times alone where God wants to teach you and I what it is to be humble. We've got to learn this thing of humility. And it's a battle. If you're not careful, you can get prideful in your humility. And this is one way I heard an old preacher say this. He said, you lose humility when you think you got it.
That's good.
When you think that you're humble, that's when you're fixing to fall. And the Bible does say that. A haughty spirit. When you get haughty and you get to lifting up yourself, you got to be careful. That's why it's a constant thing to ask God to help you and I to rely on Him. That's what verse 1's about. Where are you drawing your strength? When you're humble, you realize that you have to have God. But if you have pride, you don't need God. God help you and I to learn what it is to be humble.
Amen.
Not only did He teach him what it was to be humble, but He taught him what it was to be obedient. How well we would learn this lesson of obedience. Elijah, he obeyed and went where God told him to go. He went where the Lord told him to go. The Bible says in verse number 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He went, he obeyed and went where God told him to go. We find a divinely appointed place for divinely appointed provisions. We find that the ravens were going to bring the bread and flesh to the brook. Now, he may have chose another place to go hide, but that's where the provisions were coming. Now, whenever God gets you and I alone and He's wanting to teach us obedience, that's why it's so important to obey what God is trying to do in your life and in my life.
Amen.
We find that He was teaching him what it was, this thing of obedience. It's amazing. He may have preferred many other hiding places compared to Brook Cherith, but that was the only place where the birds was going to bring what he needed. Not only did he teach him what it was to be humble, and he taught him what it was to be obedient, but God was teaching Elijah here what it was to trust in the Lord. What it was to trust in the Lord. To trust in Jehovah because He is our strength. Elijah learned daily dependence upon God. The ravens did not bring even enough food for a whole day. They brought enough for just half the day. You're talking about trusting in God. You're talking about standing there and having faith and trust in God and Him supplying His need. He brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and he had to sit there and wait till the evening for the evening meal. You're talking about what it is to trust God. We live in a day, and I can talk about me and down, I don't know if we really understand this thing of trusting in God.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm being really serious about this thing. So often, if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of who He is.
Yes, sir.
And what we are.
Amen.
These ravens, they were strange attendants. They waited on Elijah and brought him bread and flesh twice daily. So these strange servants of God fed the prophet as long as the brook lasted. The birds brought him food and the brook brought him water. Elijah learned that his dependence must always be on God and not the circumstances. God, help us to learn.
Yes.
To turn. See, the brook dried up. God, help us to turn from a failing brook to an unfailing Savior.
Amen.
Hey. See, he wasn't dependent on the brook, even though that's where God told him to go. But he was dependent on God.
Amen.
See, there's a lot of times we depend on the circumstances around us instead of depending on the one who knows what's going on. God help you and I. God, it's amazing. Elijah learned that his dependence must always be on God. All sufficiency resides in Him. God never fails those who trust Him. Amen. Those who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. In Psalm 118, verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, and how true that is.
You're right,
we need to spend more time lowly before God than we do spending time in the spotlight before man.
Amen.
Moses was 40 years in the desert. Joseph was in prison. David was in the cave of Adullam. And Jeremiah was in a dungeon. And our Lord said all, it's amazing when you look at our Lord and how He lived and the time that He spent in hiding oneself. He hid Himself from man. Them years. But all what He learned.
Amen.
Those times that He was hiding. It's amazing. Hide thyself. It's amazing. It's a good thing. Listen to this. It's a good thing to hide oneself when having God for company.
Amen.
I mean, who else is better than having the Lord for company?
Amen.
And when God is wanting to hide you and get you alone, it's a blessed thing to know that He's going to be right there with you.
Amen.
And so we find that God was teaching Elijah what it was to be hidden. And there was a reason why God was wanting to hide Elijah. God was wanting to hide Elijah, to put him in that place of solitude, that place of aloneness, so He could teach him some things, so that when we got over to Mount Carmel, God could use him in such a mighty way.
Amen.
When you look at the differences, it's amazing. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. Here he's been hiding all this time, and the Lord the God of heaven came to Elijah and said, hey, it's time to go show yourself now. He was able to train him. He was able to teach him those things he wanted him to learn so that he could use him on a mountaintop. Elijah, he came from hiding to showing. In verse number 21 of chapter number 18, Elijah asked a question. It's amazing the question in which he asked the children of Israel. He asked, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have spoken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. We find it's amazing how that these people here, they started following after Baal. And in verse number 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions?
Yeah.
We're living in a day right now when people are riding the fence. People won't make up their mind whether they're going to do something for God or whether they're just going to do their own thing and live their own life. It's like they're riding the fence. How long halt you between two opinions? How many are halted, never making up their mind? They have no purpose in life, no true aim in life. All they're doing is just riding the fence. To drift in indecision is to deny the Lord Jesus. But this is what Elijah said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God.
Amen.
If you read your Bible and study, it's amazing what you find and how you find that Elijah is a great picture of the Lord Jesus. When you get to reading, there are a number of suggestions indicating how Elijah foreshadowed the blessed Lord Jesus Christ during his pass on earth. You find Elijah, he raised the dead, so did the Lord Jesus. Elijah fasted 40 days, so did the Lord Jesus. Elijah ascended up to heaven, and he was carried up in a chariot of fire. The Lord Jesus also was carried up into heaven in a cloud. It's amazing as you go through there how that Elijah and the Lord Jesus parallel, how you can look at their lives and they are similar. As Elijah, he was 3.5 years after his 3.5 years. It ended with a sacrifice offered on Mount Carmel. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus. After 3.5 years of public ministry, it ended with a sacrifice.
Vance Havner said this, it's a drenched altar that God sets on fire. And how true that is. Whenever they got together there at Mount Carmel, and we're looking at how God took Elijah from the brook Cherith and brought him to the Mount Carmel, and how God took him at the mountain so he could show the power of God. Not that he get the glory, but the God of heaven get the glory. And we find it's amazing, the God that answereth by fire. An innocent victim was provided a sacrifice to represent the sin-laden nation. And on it, the fire fell and consumed it, not the people. The people were spared. In both cases, it's amazing when you look at it there, how that the fire, when the fire of God fell, it consumed the sacrifice. You know, the whole nation was guilty of this offense, but mercy was shown unto the whole nation. When the fire of God fell there, whenever Elijah reared the altar and put that altar up, when the fire of God fell, it consumed the sacrifice, and it did not consume the people. What a blessing. When you look at Mount Carmel in contrast to Mount Calvary, when the fire of God fell, the wrath of God was poured out. When the fire of God fell, the Bible says that it consumed the sacrifice at Mount Carmel. But at Mount Calvary, when the wrath of God, the fire of God, was poured out on the Lord Jesus, at Mount Carmel, the fire consumed the sacrifice. But at Mount Calvary, the sacrifice consumed the fire. No longer do you and I have to go to a place called hell because my sacrifice, your sacrifice, consumed your fire.
Amen.
It's a blessing to know that in those times alone, what God teaches you, He's wanting to use you on a mountaintop somewhere. In some time down the road, God may get you a place alone. And don't forget the reason He's getting you alone. It's because He's got a mountaintop coming. He's got a mountaintop coming. God help you and I to learn what it is when God gets us in those alone times. To realize that He's not trying to just do it just to do it. There's a reason and a purpose behind Him trying to get us alone. Because somewhere down the road He's wanting to use you and I for some reason. So often, if we're not careful, we'll fight those times alone and we won't be willing to learn what God's trying to teach us. God help you and I. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, come to You tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll help us as Your people in those times whenever things are unknown and, Lord, we don't know what's going on and we don't know why and we ask all these questions. But, Lord, when You get us alone, in those alone times, when we don't understand exactly what's going on, God, I pray that You'll help us to be willing to learn and to be obedient and to be humble and to trust in You. Because somewhere down the road, Lord, You've got a mountaintop that You're wanting to put us on. Not that we get glory, not that we get fame, but Lord, because You're wanting to get the glory and You're wanting to show that You're the God of heaven. And Lord, it's in those times alone, Lord, that we need to be willing to learn what You're trying to teach us. God, I pray that You'll help us tonight. Lord, I don't know who's sitting here. Lord, I don't know what their needs are, but Lord, You do. God, I pray that You'll help them. And Lord, in Your time, in Your will, God, I pray that You'll meet those needs. Lord, be with us now. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be more humble. Lord, help us to be more obedient. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to trust You and put our faith in You. Lord, when the road gets rocky, to realize that You're the one that's taking care of all our needs. Lord, I want to give You all the honor and all the glory, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen, amen. If you need to come to this altar, you come ahead and mind God and whatever the Lord asks you to do. I would advise you to do it. If the Lord's asking you to do something, you just be obedient to God. Lord, help us now.